Let's take our Bibles today, if you will, and turn to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. The book of Joshua, you know, at this time of the year, today is December 30th, and tomorrow the 31st, and then we start a new year, into a new year. And, you know, it's always interesting as you wrap up a year and get ready to go into a new year, you kind of look back and thank the Lord for his manifold blessings. And, you know, and you think about in the year of 2018, what a blessing, a lot of things there. I can think of several blessings. I'll share two of them real quick with you. And it's a privilege to have Brother Paul Tacy on our church staff. And he is a huge blessing. Give that man a hand. And that was big in 2018, brother. I love you and appreciate you. And what a blessing to have him around here helping. He is such an asset to the whole church staff and to people coming and going, and a real team player and loves the Lord and faithful. And so that for me was a highlight in 2008, one of our highlights in 2018. And another highlight for me was the Lord giving us a new youth pastor through Brother Adam. And so I praise the Lord that he, you know, we waited until God kind of fit. And when God fits and puts everything together, God's always right and his timing's always right. And I thank the Lord for all of our workers, all of our teachers and workers, and those that help. And I really appreciate that year during that time. Mark and Pam was a huge help during that time. And but kind of see where the Lord goes forward with Brother Adam and getting off. They're on the other side of the building. They're meeting tonight with the young people and that. And so he asked me, if that'd be all right for a while. And I said, yeah, let's do what we got to do to get the youth department, get it jump started, get it going, get more teenagers and that. And so we're going to be talking with them about some other things. But as we go into the new year, they're excited to go up to the camp. I just hope it snows a ton. I just hope it just comes down by blankets and blankets. And we break those kids in really, really well. And at Bethel Youth Camp, huh? And so that would be a blessing. But I think they said somewhere around, I don't know, 10, 12 teenagers, something like that, going to the camp, maybe as high as 15 to 20. We'll see what the final registration is. And for him to just come in the fall here and this late and get that kind of, you know, going and get prepared for the winter retreat and that's a lot of work and a lot of things going. And so so I'm excited to see what God is going to do through Brother Adam and Haley. I will share this with you. What we're talking about is we're going to ordain him into the gospel ministry in July. We had early on talked about, he and I, whether he wanted to do that in Texas or do that here in Michigan at our place. And he made his mind up he wanted to do that here, be ordained into the gospel ministry here. So they got family from Texas, and people are going to want to come in for that. And if everything stays firm like it is, on the Sunday evening service of July 7th, we plan to ordain Adam Wade into the gospel ministry as a preacher of the gospel. So we'll share more with you about that as we get closer. So I was excited about that and that. So you might reflect a little bit about some of the blessings God has given you in 2018. But then think about this too. As we roll into 2019, you know, things just don't automatically happen. I think, and tonight I'm going to preach a message on being intentional. Being intentional. There's two people in the Bible. Well, there's other people in the Bible, but I'm going to focus just on two tonight of what I think when you look at the Scripture as Joshua being intentional in his life and also in Daniel's life and being intentional. So here's what I want you to think about. And as we close the service tonight, I'll share some things with you that you might want to think about. What is it in 2019 that you need to reflect on and think about and then be intentional on and focused on in 2019? You may not want a list of 25, but you might pick out one or two or three or four things. Something that you say, I can just do several things. Well, you know, you might have good intentions. For example, bring it down to say, you know what, in 2019, I'm going to focus on my prayer life. And that's going to be one of my key things that I'm going to increase and elevate my prayer life for the Lord. Another thing might, could be just simple, dedication in your Bible study, making sure every day that you're in the Word and growing in Christ and through the Word of God, or whatever else it is that you want to be intentional about. Intentional, the definition of intentional is doing something on purpose. That's what intentional is. It means doing something on purpose, purposely intend. If you have good intentions, but you just don't purposely intend to do it, then what you'll find, if you're not careful, another year can go by. And so pick out what's the most important to you and be intentional about that. And so, when you think about intentional living, it's an interesting thing, because church work in some ways have changed. Now when we go visit, I remember in the old days, anytime we wanted to go visiting, you had to pull up a map, figure out where so-and-so lived, and then, navigate to get there. Nowadays, what's so neat is you have these smartphones, and you just take your GPS and you plug in an address. And that's how we do all of our church visitations. I do everywhere I go. If I'm going somewhere, I plug in a GPS address, and boom, it takes me right there. And several times we'll be somewhere with my wife, and I'll miss, not turn where I'm supposed to or whatever. And you know how she'll come on, the lady will come on and say, recalculating, or what is it, recalculating, is that it is? And so my wife will say, can you turn that lady off? And, I said, well, she's recalculating, give her a minute. Or Tony, when Tony and I was doing a lot of visitation, he'd say, can we find a man's voice on that GPS? And I'm still looking, Tony, for a man's voice on the GPS. But when you think about a GPS, that it's like a GPS system. Intentional living, it puts you on the path where you want to go. And it's important to get where you want to go, And so, before the GPS, I go, my wife would say, you're lost. I said, no, I'm not lost. I know right where I'm at. She goes, no, you don't. You're lost. And I said, no, I know in the general vicinity I am. I'll figure it out. If I can get to somewhere, I see the landmarks. And she'll say, just admit it. It's a man thing. You're lost and you won't admit it. And so the GPS helps us to find it. With a GPS, you got to log in your destination where you're headed. So I would say to all of you, in 2019, where are you headed in 2019? What do you want to do? What's, for you individually, I'm not talking about the church, because you are the church. We are the church. Where are you headed in your life in 2019? What is it that you want to focus on and be intentional in? So, you have to have a beginning point, a calculated route, and then a path to be able to follow. So intentional living points you toward the path in God's Word. Let me show you something. Go to Psalm. Hold your place there in Joshua, but let me show you this verse over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Many of you are already familiar with this, but in Psalm 119, you get down to verse 105. And here's a good verse for you to take and kind of focus on as you go into a new year, Psalm 119 and verse number 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the word of God. And I love that. That's a great chapter, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, on the word of God and his word. So the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So intentional living is to live today the way you want to become tomorrow. Now think about that. Living today, and the way that you want to become tomorrow. Ephesians, Paul put it this way, in Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I have followed for years a ministry of a man by the name of Dr. Randy Carlson. Some of you maybe have followed his ministry, and he's really big on Family Life Radio. Around here, I know that he earned a doctorate's degree in Christian counseling, or counseling psychology, and that, with 27 years of experience, and he has radio programs. I know I always pick the one up out of Midland, but he has one, a station out of Lansing, Battle Creek, Albion, Kalamazoo, Mason, here in Detroit. I think you used to be able to catch him on, AM 1030. If you dial in on the AM station 1030, sometimes you can pick up some of the programming there. But in the broadcast, when he's broadcasting, it's on intentional living, is where he provides encouragement and wisdom on the essentials. There's five essentials in life. And if you think about being intentional, one is about our finances. Might be a good year to think about where you're at financially, what's going on financially in your life, and to be purposely intent and intentional on our finances. Another one would be our faith, where we're at in our faith. And we talked about that in the book of James this morning on either a dead faith or a living faith. And our faith, where's our faith at? And our faith should be able to produce works or fruit or evidence that we are Christians and love the Lord and faithful to Him. Another area would be our family. What should we be intentional about? You say, you look at your family and your family situation, and what do you want to be intentional about this year in your own family, with your own children, grandchildren, whatever, and being intentional about your family. That's very important. Here's another one for you, if you really think about it, is being intentional about our health. I love the holidays, and I love all the extra food and the get-together and all that area there, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad the holidays are over as far as that goes. You eat more during the holidays. Amen? And yeah, I think some of us do. And so I'm ready to get back to a kind of a regular schedule of the holiday and the food. So you got your faith, you got your family, you got your health, and you got your finance. And then if you're working, I know some of you are retired, but retirement just doesn't mean you sit around and do nothing. As you all know, you got things to do every day when you get up. And so when you think about what it is you're going to be intentional about, and so think about that. If you think about, forget about making resolutions. How many times, you're going to hear a lot about that tomorrow, probably, maybe Tuesday, the New Year's resolutions, and start out really with more of a God-focused life, and you and the Lord, and ourselves and the Lord, and tune out the world, and tune out everything else. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's just good, turn the TV off, turn all the technology off. And just get alone with the Lord and allow Him to be able to speak to you and get some private time and one-on-one time with Him. If you want to get a way to get that, you're always welcome to go to Bethel Youth Camp and get alone with the Lord there, because the busyness of the world can just sink in on us. And so we ought to pray that we could, as we get alone with the God, hear His voice clearly. Read our Bibles and receive the Word of God and depend on the Lord and stay in the Scripture. And then, listen to good things or read a good book. It'd be interesting if I was to go around the room and say, tell me what's the last good book that you've ever read. I'm reading a book right now, and it's written by Chris Ingram as the author of it, and it's called From Good to Great. And what's really interesting about that is a lot of times, people in life get satisfied to be right where you're at. You're comfortable. And how do you move from good to great? How do you move along through life and the challenges that come along with that? And it's a really an interesting read and things that are going through. So I'm enjoying reading and looking at this. And so, I was listening to Randy Carlson here a while back, and he had some callers calling in on this thing on intentional living. And this man struggled. His name was Vern. He struggled with health and attitude and keeping his marriage alive, and he began to imply intentional living to turn his life around. There was another one, a lady by the name of Debbie, was 25-year-old drug and alcohol addiction, landed her in jail, got her in trouble with Child Protective Services, and then began to apply intentional living, and finally then got her children back. There was another one I remember when I listened to it. His name was Doug. Began to apply intentional living and chose not to eat out at all and save that money and put it into a savings account and watch it add up. So, you could pick a lot of different things on those five things, of faith and family, finances, work, health, or whatever, and whatever applies to you. Now, let's look at our text here in Joshua 24, because Joshua, I really believe, was intentional in his living. And by that meaning, when you get to the 24th chapter of Joshua here, this is really Joshua's charge to Israel, to the nation of Israel, and to his family. Really, if you think about it, and I pray, somebody said to me today, two or three people did today, is, man, I hope we don't have any more funerals right away. I said, yeah, you and me both. I said, it's been 4 weeks in a row we've had funerals. So everybody in the church and everybody we know can just take a breather and no funerals now till maybe at least halfway through the year. So when you think about that, Joshua here is getting ready in his old age and he knows he's getting ready to leave Israel and to leave his family behind. Now think about that. If you're getting ready to leave your family behind, what would you say to them? What kind of charge would you give to them? What charge would you give to your children, your grandchildren? What would you say to them as you're on your way out? And heaven's getting closer and closer. And so here's what Joshua says to Israel and to his family. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose. Notice this word choose now. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Notice now here the charge. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that from Joshua. And he's in his older years now. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid, in verse 16, that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. And therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. Now think about that verse right there. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good. Wow, that is a hard verse to absorb. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay. They said, it's like, no, not so, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, now notice down through here these words, it talks about serving and chosen and putting away and serving and obeying. He says in verse 21 there, then the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. And now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant there and with the people that day and set them in the statute and the ordinance in Shechem. And he wrote those words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone, set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. In verse 27, Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Now think about that. And then verse 28, so Joshua let all the people depart and every man into his own inheritance. So here's Joshua. You can almost picture, you know, he's getting older in years and he's concerned for Israel and his family, and he lays out all the guidelines and he's very intentional about what he's doing and very dedicated. And I think the message for you and I and for our children and our grandchildren is, wherever you're at, is to encourage them to serve the Lord. Be faithful to God. Encourage them. I loved this week. I had a chance to be with some of my grandchildren, and that wherever we went, I would say, who's going to pray? And be interesting. Right away, Zach, my 14-year-old grandson down in North Carolina, they're headed back to North Carolina this evening. And he said, I'll pray. And I just love sitting there and listening to your grandchildren pray. I don't know about you, but that is just awesome. And so the next meal or whatever come around, and I sit there and I say, okay, who's going to pray? And Michaela, 10 years old, little girl, she goes, I'll pray. And so it's kind of like one grandkid is going to beat the other grandkid to I'll pray. And then Cole, you know, Cole's a little bit more quiet and a little bit more timid. And I look at Cole and I said, Cole, you want to pray? And he goes, yeah, I'll pray. And so, you know, so it's interesting to see how God works in their life. And so, and to see here. And so Joshua was intentional. And I think we need to encourage our children, our grandchildren, right on down the line, to be intentional and to serve the Lord. And just like Joshua gave his charge here in the latter and these times here, is to fear the Lord. Notice in verse 14, you go back to where we started out there. He said, fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and put away some things. And you got to help that generation to be able to do that. And then make a choice. Everything is about a choice. Notice he says in verse 15, a choice here means to pick out preferences from what is available. And verse 15, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And so, you know, our children make choices. And our grandchildren will make choices. And sometimes you'll be pleased with their choices. There might be sometimes you say, well, I wish they'd have chosen something different or whatever. And so, you know, and that's life. You gotta let them be who they are and be their own person. We can't make, you know, I can't make the decisions for all of our kids and grandchildren and that. But he says simply, or Joshua says, choose you and make a choice and to decide what is preferred and to make one selection, to have your desires or wishes. So in verse 21, again, he comes back to this verse in verse 21 here of Joshua chapter 24 is to serve. And verse 22 is chosen to serve. And then again, that word to put away and to serve and then to obey. So that should come from the home. That should come from the head of the home. That should come from the head of the family. Joshua's fatherly model was for himself and his family to serve the Lord and not allow false gods to get into their family, into their home, their environment. So Joshua also called for all of Israel then to also commit themselves to serve the Lord. And you know what it said? Verse 18, all Israel did. It says in verse 18, Joshua said, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people and even the Amorites which dwelt in the land, and therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. I don't know about you, but that just gets exciting to be able to have one generation say, I will serve the Lord, I will follow God, I'll be saved and do what, it's, I don't know about you, just does the heart good to see the next generation come along and say, we will do likewise. We will love our God and serve our Lord and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to see your grandchildren come along, we will love the Lord our God and serve him and serve him faithfully. So it's important from generation to generation. The Bible says here in verse 18 that I think they were very intentional. Joshua was very intentional in making these choices. Now let's go over to Daniel. Let me show you this in the book of Daniel. Daniel was another, I think, Bible example given to us in Scripture of how to be intentional in serving the Lord. In Daniel chapter 6. And when you get to Daniel 6, what a life here, and we're seeing the life of Daniel. You see, during this time, there was the king of Persia, and that Darius was the king at this time. Daniel chapter 6, and you get down there to verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. It just simply says, it pleased Darius, the king, he was the king of Persia, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. And then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, you talk about being intentional. Here's a man, you know, they come and they set up these 120 princes over the kingdom. And he then set up three presidents for those 120 princes to report to, of which Daniel was the first and the preferred above all the other presidents and princes. Why was that so? Because in verse 3, the Bible simply says he had in him an excellent spirit. I love that there. In other words, what does that mean, an excellent spirit? It means that God was with Daniel. Most important here in Scripture. And so King Darius set Daniel up over the whole kingdom of Persia. Think about that, the whole Persian kingdom. And then in verse 4, we find that jealousy arose. You know, jealousy can be a sin. And it says here, then the president, the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow, that excellent spirit that Daniel had was an amazing spirit here. And so jealousy sets in from these other presidents and these other princes, and they tried to find fault with Daniel and could find none. And so he had, you know, and maybe one of our prayers simply be is that God would be with us and that we would also likewise, maybe something else to have an intentional thought, an intentional action is to have an excellent spirit in you and I in 2019. What does that mean? It means God is with us. We have chosen to walk with him, fellowship with him, and keep our focus on him, and that we, like Daniel, would have an excellent spirit within us, and that God would be with us. And so here they try to find fault, couldn't find any. And so they gather together to form a royal decree. And it is that whosoever would ask any petition of God or man for 30 days except for the king of Persia, Darius, shall be cast into a den of lions. And so the king signs the decree, and that it be not changed. Notice, if you will, and you get down here in verse 5, and then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. And now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So that's kind of like the law of the land, the law of the land. And the Persian here, the way the scripture says it, that which altereth not at the end of verse 8. That now becomes law. And so here is, now what would you do if the law of the land changed? What do you do if the law of the land is given and something is signed into law, but it goes against your intentional principles and living, your character, your convictions, or the word of God? Well, Daniel had a problem, and the problem was it's more important to obey God than to obey the law of the land. In verse 10 it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, verse 10, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees three times a day, prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't change his habits just because there was a new Persian law or decree in the land. This was Daniel's pattern. He was very intentional on his prayer life. And three times a day he prayed, and he looked towards Jerusalem. And so we find here, then these men assembled together, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You think about that. You know, here you are. You know, somebody finds you praying to your God morning, noon, and night. And, you know, I don't know about you, but you that would be a good thing. Guilty as charged. You caught me praying. We should never be ashamed of that. Daniel was never ashamed of that. And so Daniel is found guilty here when he's found praying and making supplication before his God. In verse 12, Daniel now is then reported back to the king. It says, they came near, they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, that thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, again, which altereth not. And then in verse 13, Daniel is accused of not regarding the king and violating the decree. It says, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor he, or the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. So this law here, the king was displeased and tried to deliver Daniel like that in verse 14. And then the king, when he heard these things, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. The king tried to help Daniel out. The king tried to find a way to let him off the hook. The king tried to find a way to make for Daniel to escape. There was no way. That was the law of the land. That was the law the king signed. It was decreed by Darius, king of Persia. And so he had to follow through. So what they did simply is they cast him into the lion's den. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king. They said unto the king, know thou, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Boy, they're a bunch of connivers. They just connived and set Daniel up, and now they're ready to go in. And so then the king commanded in verse 16, they brought Daniel, cast him in the den of lions, and now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Man, that's coming from the king to Daniel. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. What a powerful statement, isn't that? Daniel's reputation, Daniel's intentional living, was one of serving God continually, intentionally serving the Lord. And now we find in verse 18 to 24, God delivers Daniel from the lion's den. If you and I got cast in the lion's den, what would your thought be? Daniel's strength was so intentional in the Lord, so spiritually consistent, such a prayer life, and that now we see that God then delivered Daniel. You can read it there in the text in verse 18 down to verse 24. God delivers Daniel from the lion's den. And Daniel's intentional living passed the test of faith. As a result, the king now makes another decree. Look at it in verse 26. The king now makes another decree. Daniel did pass the test. You get down to verse 26, and the king Darius says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast and forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be ever unto the end. Wow, what a statement. What a decree. That in every dominion of the king's kingdom, men tremble and fear before God and confess that he, God, Daniel's God, is the God of the kingdom, is God Almighty. For a king to say that, the Persian king, he is a God who is steadfast forever, and God's kingdom shall not be destroyed. You know, it'd be an amazing thing for you and I to make sure we live our lives intentionally, that no matter where we go, people know, and people know our testimony. They know your character. They know your intentional living. They know the God that you serve. And you ever have somebody just stop and say, hey, I know you go to First Baptist Church, or I know, in my case, I know you're a pastor. Would you pray for me? And or you know, pray for us or whatever. And you know, so it's always interesting to let your testimony be known and to share with others, and that they, in times of difficulty, can come to you and say, hey, you know, the God that you serve, pray for me. And so God delivers here in verse 27, and God comes to the rescue, and he says he delivereth in verse 27. And rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, and who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So God worketh wonders in heaven and earth, and God delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Wouldn't it be a great thing just to be able to know and to see that on the corner of Cherry Hill and Sheldon, there's a group of people there that believe in God Almighty and live their lives intentionally for the Lord, and are Christians that are faithful in their testimony and their character and live for God 24/7 all week long. And as that testimony, you know, spreads out, and they'll know that you're a Christian, and they'll know what you believe in. And so Daniel here prospered in the reign of King Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia here, and that because Daniel lived a life that was intentional. And doing something on purpose as intended. Being a Christian of intentional living, it'll help you whether you're single or widowed. It'll help you in our marriages. It will help you as a parent. Think about this in parenting. Now, I know many of us in the room tonight here, we've already raised our children, and now, you know, it's interesting to be around our grandchildren. We're not really raising them, but in a way we are, through the influence of our children, have an impact on our grandchildren. But imagine this, you know, if you think about intentional parenting and these thoughts, I will not do for my child what he needs to do for himself. When I do, I disrespect him. I will not overreact, and when I do, my child has won. I will not rescue my child from life lessons he needs to learn. When I do, I weaken him. I will not treat my teenager like a child. When I do, I create resentment. I will not dissuade from doing right despite anger, tears, cursing, or threats. When I do, I am an irresponsible parent. I will use my heart when they are hurting, confused, or searching, or frustrated. I will use my head when they have questions or need guidance or want answers. I will use my hand taking action when they are disrespectful or disobedient or lazy. I will pick my parenting battles carefully because it's more important to be the right parent than to be right. Just because I'm mom or dad doesn't always make you right. I will give lots of encouragement because it will help my child to succeed. I will provide training, instruction, and support as needed because that is my job as a parent. I will pray daily for my children because my children belong to God. You have to be intentional of this thing in the Christian life. So as we close the service tonight, it's the last service for 2018. What are some things tonight? Maybe it's prayer, maybe it's, I don't know, reading your Bible, maybe it's something else. Think about this. What tonight maybe you would share with by way of testimony tonight? There was two things that God laid on my heart when I was working on this message. Rick, you need to be more intentional on praying this thing with Daniel really grabs your attention in your prayer life, individual prayer life. Be more intent on that. Yes, you know, we all pray, and yes, we set times to pray. But what is it that God lays in your heart? My two that I thought of during this time of this message is, and be more intentional on witnessing and sharing the gospel with whoever you come in contact with. Those two thoughts. So tonight, maybe somebody else, remember on faith or family or health or finance, whatever, what would you choose to be more intentional on in the year of 2019? Brother Earl?
You spent a lot of time tonight talking about generations and grandchildren. My thought early on when you had indicated you were going to do this was my thought about the fact that our generation preceding us didn't know Christ, and we have been blessed to have found him in our generation. Children and some of our grandchildren, but some of our grandchildren aren't living the life that would allow them to raise their now our great grandchildren in a way that might serve the Lord someday in their lifetime. So my thought is that Phyllis and I have prayed for our grandkids often, but to do that more often, to let God know that we're really concerned about passing on what God has given us. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see God's goodness passed on to future generations.
Amen. Boy, that is awesome. That is great. That is great to be intentional and focus on that. Because let's all face it, you and I are not going to be here forever. And you want to make sure the next generation gets passed on to them and that they live for the Lord. That is well said. Somebody else had a hand here? Norman?
As Earl said, prayer.
Yeah.
When you reread that of Daniel, I had already written it down, but that really hit home with me. I'm limited to what I can do for the Lord now, but that prayer I can do.
There you go.
I can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being more in contact with my grandchildren that have wandered away. My contact with them now is like maybe once a month. I'm going to push myself on them. If they get tired of grandma, they'll say so.
Yeah. Good. That's good. More intentional on praying and be more focused, laser focused. That's good. That's good. Someone else tonight? Any thoughts on being intentional? Okay.
My nephew, Chris, he don't believe in God.
Does not believe in God?
So we need to really pray hard.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Dedicate times of prayer, being intentional, praying specifically for Chris and the Holy Spirit to convict him, draw him to Christ. It's good. Anyone else? Any thoughts on being intentional? Okay, Dixie? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Be intentional for those three and all the grandchildren, but those three specifically. It's great. Joyce?
Well, I hesitate to pray this, but I want to be a better witness for the Lord. And the last time I prayed that, the Lord let me have breast cancer.
Mm.
And I was able to witness to so many people, doctors and nurses and everyone that I was involved with. So I want to be a better witness, but I hope the Lord doesn't take it that far.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way we would all feel, and that. But you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways to bring about whatever He wants out of us, and we just got to learn to trust Him, as hard as that might be. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but no matter where we're at, be faithful in our witness and our testimony, and be intentional about Christ and serving Him. Any other closing thoughts? Your last chance for 2018? Anything you want to be intentional about this year? Or we could encourage anybody in the church being intentional. Okay, Phyllis, go ahead. Amen. That is really great. You know, I don't know about all of you, but I followed George H.W. Bush's funeral whole stuff pretty close because I always liked the Bush family. But one thing, there's a lot of things that intrigued me, but one thing that really intrigued me was how that man throughout his whole lifetime wrote personal notes, those personal notes to family members, to people in Congress, to world leaders, to everybody. And I thought, what a nice personal touch that a man like that, as busy as he was, would take time to sit down and just write maybe a short personal note to so-and-so and drop that in the mail. I thought, what a great testimony. And that, Brother Bob? Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. That's the Brown family. Okay. Wow. Ron, you had another one? You raised your hand a moment ago. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. And I think Daniel sets a great example of that morning, noon, and night to pray and see how God worked in his heart and in his life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll close. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for